read a few verses in this letter from the Apostle Paul to a church in the city of Corinth, written about 2,000 years ago. And most of the Bible is old, and some of it's older than others. But Paul wrote this to a church that he loved, and he had to correct them. He did it because he loved them. They had sin in the church, and he dealt with it. Not like the modern day pastors would do, just to stick their head in the sand and hope it'll go away. But Paul wrote in closing to this church, and we want to start reading in the 16th chapter, and read verses 13 and 14. As he closes out this letter to a church that he spent a lot of time there, and the Lord had to come to Paul when he was really afraid and wanted to leave. And the Lord said to him, "Be not afraid, I have much people in this city." And this church was a large church because the Spirit of God worked and saved a lot of people in this city. But he's getting ready to leave or close his first letter, and he says in verse 13, "Watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men, be strong." Now, someone asked me this morning, "Do you have a Mother's Day message?" And I said, "Yes, I do." It's God's word, and it's not specifically directed to mothers, but I believe it's something that this church needs. I thank God for every member of this church and your faithfulness. And I want to encourage you today, as if Paul encouraged this church, as Jesus warned us in the days of his ministry so many times, watch, watch, watch. He doesn't mean stand out in the field somewhere and look up in the air. Just be aware of the things going on around you. Know the word of God. Know the things that he said would happen are happening. He says in verse 14, "Let all things be done with charity." Something we certainly need greatly today. Love. But he admonished them in closing this letter to watch ye. And I encourage this church, we're living in the last days of the last days. The Lord's coming is right upon us. The rapture is going to take place before many of the things we read about in the Bible will happen, will be gone. So the Bible says in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, he's going to appear and we're going to be with him. If you're saved by the grace of God, he's going to take you out. And many of the things we read in Revelation, we'll not be a part of because we'll be with the Lord. But in the meantime, we have a responsibility, and I have a responsibility to teach this church. I want to look at the particular statement he made in verse 13, "Stand fast in the faith." That's something that's appreciated in this world in many aspects of life. People that have some backbone. People don't cave for the first problem, but it can undergo a lot of issues and problems, and yet they still stand straight. They still stand fast. And this statement is found all by the Apostle Paul in six different occasions in the New Testament, writing to four different churches. So the Paul was consistent. If he wrote to a church at Corinth, he would say, "Stand fast." You'll see if he wrote to the church in Philippi, he'll say, "Stand fast." And it's a strong encouragement. The word means to just stand firm or to keep one standing. Don't move from where you're standing. We're living in a time when it's easy to move away from the truth. And beloved, that ought not be a part of our thinking as God's people. And I hope from what I can say to you today, you can understand why. The word is stako in the Greek language, and it's translated to two words in English, stand fast. To stand firm. It also means to persevere. To persevere, come what may. I compare this with a passage in Jude, a different writer, but one of the Lord's apostles, and he says in Jude just one chapter, but in the third verse of the book of Jude, we read this, writing to the saints of God, and he says, "Beloved, when I give all diligence to write unto you of a common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints." We're living in a day of compromise. If you can't see that, you're just not seeing. People are compromising. They don't care anything about the truth. All they care about is themselves and getting everything they can. But as God's people, we're admonished and encouraged to stand fast. Stand firm. We'll read in another place in just a few minutes, but it literally means to be strong. Peter also, we're close to Peter, just turn back a few pages to Peter, 1 Peter chapter number 5 and verse number 9. The Apostle Peter wrote this for our admonishment and for our encouragement. 1 Peter 5 and verse 9, "Whom resist steadfast in the faith." Now he's talking about Satan, our adversary, our enemy. "Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world." We all have the same struggles if we've been saved. Stand fast. Peter's admonishment, Jude's admonishment, the admonishment of the Apostle Paul to those who have been saved by the grace of God, stand fast. Stand firm. Earnestly contend for the faith. Now, I wasn't born yesterday. I've been saved for many years. 1963. And I can see what has happened in the world of religion, particularly in Baptist churches. I'll pick on the Baptists today. But there's an attitude of compromise. There's an attitude of get along with people. Now, there's nothing wrong with getting along with people. I want to get along with everybody I can. But, beloved, if I have to compromise the faith, then what good is it? When the Bible tells me to stand fast, to stand firm, to uphold the things that have been delivered unto us, as we read in Jude, earnestly contend for the faith. Notice it's the faith. Now, the world thinks, you know, there's a lot of faiths. Well, as far as the Lord Jesus Christ is concerned, there's only one faith. I know that goes against what the world teaches and what the world demonstrates. But there's only one faith, and it's faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and Him alone. Nothing added. If you add anything to it, you're taking away from His work. And He doesn't want that. Now another place in Galatians, just a few pages past where we're reading in Corinthians, Paul writes a letter to the saints, the churches, actually there's more than one church, in the letter to the Galatians. This is the only one he wrote to multiple churches. Galatia was an area. It was a province of Russia. There were several churches there, but they had a serious problem. They wanted to go back under the law. They wanted to go back, and if you're not circumcised, you can't be saved, and on and on and on you can go. That's still happening today. But Paul wrote a letter to them in chapter 5, and he says this in verse 1, the Galatian letter, "Stand fast, therefore." This is exactly the same Greek word. It's translated in exactly the same way, "stand fast." "Therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." The Judaizers, who were Jewish teachers coming out of Jerusalem, were going into the area of Galatia after the Apostle Paul went through there and established many churches. And they begin to teach, it's all right to believe in Jesus, but if you're not circumcised, you can't be saved. That's changed a little bit in the day we're living, but same era. You may change it if you don't join our church, you can't be saved. You may change it if you're not baptized, you can't be saved. And on and on and on we can go. But the teaching is the Apostle Paul, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." These Judaizers were teaching the Galatian churches doctrine that would cause them to lose their freedom. Paul says, you're falling away from grace. You don't understand what I taught you when you were there. You're being entangled again, and there's nothing worse than being, I got tangled up. I was preaching a funeral the other day, and I was getting ready to leave the pulpit, and my foot got tangled in the electric cord. They had run back behind me, and it was pretty close there for a minute, but I'm glad I didn't fall. That would have made an awful mess out of what I was meant to be doing. But you get your feet entangled with something. That's what Paul's talking about. Don't be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. The law and circumcision and all the things that people pile on you to do so you can be saved. If you don't do these things, you can't be saved. It's a yoke of bondage. The liberty we have in Jesus Christ is very simple. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. You don't have to add anything to it. Just believe on him. Trust in him and in him alone. And you start adding things to it, you're getting into a sea of confusion. Don't be entangled again with yoke of bondage. There are many things in this world to take us away from the simplicity that is in Christ. It's simplicity. People say, well, you must join the church in order to be saved. That's a lie. There's nothing in the Bible about having to join church. Well, you got to be baptized in order to be saved. Well, that's disputed in so many places in the Bible. Baptism doesn't save you. You can be baptized 100 times and still be lost. You must have your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and in nothing else, that he died for your sins. And anything we add to that just entangles us in the yoke of bondage. Paul said in Romans 10 and verse number 4, concerning the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ. He had a great burden for his brethren in the Jewish nation. He said, I bear them record. They have a zeal of God. They're zealous. They want to do the right thing, and all these things they're doing. But they being ignorant of God's righteousness. And trying to make themselves righteous in themselves, have not submitted unto the righteousness of God, which is by faith in Jesus Christ. Now, Paul's writing here to the Galatians to try to stop this error that was creeping into this region, that if you're not circumcised, you can't be saved. Circumcision won't save you. Nothing you do. There's nothing you can do to save you. You say, well, I have to believe. Well, that's not a work. Believing on the Lord Jesus Christ is not a work. It's not something you can even work up to. Believing on the Lord Jesus Christ is a reaction to the Spirit of God working in your heart and condemning you that you're a sinner and you're lost and you're headed for hell. And if you don't trust in him, you're going to die in your sins. Believing is not a work. It's an answer to appeal the Holy Spirit to trust in him. Stand fast, Paul says, in the freedom. We have a lot of rhetoric today and a lot of ranting and raving in the streets about freedom. They don't know what this freedom's all about, do they? They don't understand this. The freedom is in the Lord Jesus Christ when we trust in him. We're not bound to do things. We're bound to love him. The freedom that God gives us teaches us. This is the work of the Holy Spirit, that you love one another and you love the Lord. That doesn't cost you anything. It's not a work. There's no bondage involved in that. So Paul says to the churches of Galatia, what we sing sometimes in our hymns, free from the law, oh happy condition. Jesus has died and there is remission. Cursed by the fall. We were cursed by the fall. Condemned by the law. But we're free in Jesus Christ when we trust in him. Our faith is in his works, not in our works. So Paul writes to the churches of Galatia using exactly the same statement he used to the church at Corinth. Now let's turn to the next church, the church at Philippi. church that was founded when Paul went there and was put in prison, beaten with many stripes, and the jailer had to put him away and put him in chains. And the Bible says at midnight, Paul and Silas were singing praises to God, and a great earthquake hit that area of the country. And all the chains fell off, and the doors were open. And the jailer came in with a sword, was going to kill himself. And Paul said, "Do thyself no harm. We're all here. We're not running." And he said, "Men, brethren, what must I do to be saved?" One of the simplest statements in the Bible of the true way to be saved. Paul said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." Philippi, that great city, was a great province, a lot of things going on there. Paul went there to preach Christ when he left Asia and went over into Europe. We probably have the gospel because of Paul's going into Europe. Eventually, the gospel came into our country. In chapter 1 of the Philippian letter, verse 27, notice this. Philippians 1, verse 27. I better get out of Ephesians. The Bible's getting so old. I turn one page and four go with it. Philippians 1, verse 27. "Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit." Same word exactly. Same translation, "that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation, and that of God." Paul says to the saints at Philippi, whether I'm with you or whether I hear about you from some of the men who travel here, I want to hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit. Stand fast. This is an admonition that he gives 6 times to the churches. Same word, same translation, same principle, same teaching. Persevere, persevere, persevere. Don't be affected by the things around you. Don't be affected by what others do. Just stand fast. In one spirit, striving together for the faith of the gospel. That's what a church is supposed to be doing. Churches are mixed up in anything and everything. Some of them are commendable, I suppose you could say, but the Lord didn't call us to feed the world. And yet we feed people if they're hungry, if we have an opportunity. But that's not our mission in the world. He didn't call us to comfort the world and all the things that are going on. He called us to be a temple of God, of the Lord Jesus Christ, in one place. To preach the truth and to stand fast and earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered. Now the world doesn't much like that. Your old flesh won't like that until God saves you. Then you'll love it. Because you'll understand. This is what church is all about. This is what we're supposed to be doing. And Paul recognized that, so he writes to this church. Stand fast in one spirit. He writes this same church later on, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." Let this mind be of one mind, be one-minded, be like-minded. The real joy of Christianity is being of the same mind, of the same love, of the same heart, and doing things together because of love for Christ. Not being swayed by the ways of the world. I mean, the world comes up with a lot of things that affects the church, and most of them are not good. They break down the simplicity that Christ started. I was thinking this morning as I was meditating on this message, you ever wonder why the Lord built the church, or one of the reasons he built the church? You're reading one of the reasons he built the church. When he left his apostles. But even at that, they didn't live very long and they were gone. They lived a normal life and some of them were killed for the cause of Christ. They cut off James's head. Most of the apostles died a cruel death. But he gave us the church of the Lord Jesus Christ that he might write letters to us. Did you ever stop and think about that? The letter that Paul wrote to the Philippian church was from God to the churches of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we can read these things, that we're to stand fast. What happened if he had not built a church? If he had not written these letters, where would we be? We'd be floundering around like everything. We wouldn't know what to do. Wouldn't have any direction. We'd be joining in with the world in every way. But he built his church, and then he called men like Paul to write letters to instruct the churches on how to serve God in an acceptable way. And the world despises that. They don't want any instruction. They want every man to do what he wants to. But no, it's not that way. He wrote these letters to the churches through the Apostle Paul. Read the book of Revelation, chapters 2 and 3. He gave John instruction, write to the seven churches of Asia. He names every one of them. He tells exactly what to tell the church. Why did he do that? Because that is his way. That's his will. He made a church. He built his church in the days of his ministry. And then he caused men like Paul to write to those churches that we might know today how to live a godly life. That we might be pleasing to God. So, the Philippian church he wrote again in this same book. Chapter 4, verses 1 through 4. I like this. I love the Philippian letter. It's really got a lot of joy in it, and we need joy. I get discouraged. I get tired. I get tired of battling these things that keep coming upon us. But nonetheless, notice this in chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for. You see, Paul not only built these churches, he not only went there to preach the gospel, he loved them. He wrote letters to them to confirm what he had taught them. He wrote a letter to the Corinthian church, and then he wrote a second letter to the Corinthian church. He wrote a letter to the church at Thessalonica, and then he wrote a second letter to the church at Thessalonica. Why did he do that? Because he wanted to make sure that they were standing on the things he taught. But notice in Philippians chapter 4, verse 1, therefore, my beloved brethren, my beloved, and long for my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord. I see these things over and over again, and repetition is one of the best ways to learn. Did you know that? Remember when you're in school, in the lower grades, how they stressed repetition? You got to do it over and over and over again. First thing you know, you got it. Paul says, stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Euodias. I beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. Here's two women that were at odds with one another. And Paul says, I beg you, be of the same mind. Verse 3, and I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. Why did Paul, what did he want them to stand fast in at Philippi? He wanted them to stand fast in their rejoicing. Don't let your rejoicing go up and down by circumstances. Just keep on rejoicing. We've got so much to rejoice in. I'll get to that later. The standing fast in the church in chapter 4 was because we can rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. We got so much. If you're saved by God's grace, you got so much to rejoice in. He's already talked about whose names are in the book of life. That's a great message there. I can't do that this morning, but it's a great message in all these things. Rejoice in the Lord. Paul said that, I don't know how many times in this one letter he talked about rejoicing, rejoicing, rejoicing. But then we see number five, he wrote a letter to the church at Thessalonica, which is our next point. I'm going to find that. To the church at Thessalonica, this is another church, very close to Philippi. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 6 through 10. First Thessalonians 3, verse 6. But now when Timotheus came from you unto us and brought us good tidings of your faith and charity, and that you have good remembrance of us always, desiring greatly to see us as we also to see you. You know, one thing is lost. It's absolutely lost in the day we're living. In Christians. Where's this love that Paul keeps talking about? I love you and you love me, and I can greatly rejoice to see you again. Let's read further. Verse 7. Therefore, brethren, we are comforted over you in all your affliction and distress by your faith. For now we live if you stand fast in the Lord. There it is again. We live if you stand fast in the Lord. You know what Paul's saying? My rejoicing, my comfort, all that really helps me is when I know this church that I started, that I've ministered to, and I'm going to write another letter to, are standing fast in the Lord. That makes the pastor's heart overflow. Especially in the day we're living when you see so little of it. Churches can't get pastors. So many churches without a pastor. You may wonder, why don't we have more pastors? Well, one of the reasons we don't have more pastors is because we got churches that don't want a pastor. They don't want anybody to tell them what to do. They don't want anybody to read the scripture and say, you ought to do this. Everybody wants to do his own thing. And it's affected the ministry. Why would a young man feel led of God to get into the ministry and want to pastor a church when all he's going to get is heartache and trouble? Paul says concerning this church, as we just read to you, for now we live if you stand fast in the Lord. For what thanks can we render to God again for you for all the joy wherewith we joy for your sakes before God? Paul really loved this church, and when he prayed with joy, and he rejoiced in the Lord always because he knew these people. And knowing them was a joy to him. How long has it been since we really felt that? Knowing a church was a joy to us. Knowing a pastor, knowing a church, knowing a Christian friend was a joy to us. We've gone beyond that now. Everybody's living to themselves so much, they don't have any time for anyone else. It ought not to be. And in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, it will kill a church. We need to love one another with a pure heart, fervently, Peter says. So when you think about standing fast in the Lord, what's the advantage to this? Why should we do this? Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. The Bible tells us. We're to be strong in the Lord. We're to stand fast. We're to have some backbone. We admire that in other people. We admire people that we see are strong and they don't give in easy and they fight for the things that are right. But where are we in the battle? Most people, you can't get them to even go to church. I mean, if you'll just listen to the things that are being reported, church attendance has drastically dropped in the United States of America. Why is that? Well, that's a pastor's fault. Well, that's a good excuse, but it won't work. You shouldn't be going to church for the pastor. You go to the church because it's a body of the Lord Jesus Christ where he commanded you, if you're saved, to assemble. It's not an option. It's a command. And if you don't do it, you're disobeying the Lord. You're not hurting the pastor. You're hurting yourself. One last place, 2 Thessalonians, second letter they wrote, chapter 2, verse 13. 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 13. But we're bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord. Oh, if we understood that. When you're saved, God loves you with a love you can't begin to understand. If you're really saved, you're loved of God. That's what he's saying. Let's read on. Because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit, belief of the truth. Whereunto he called you by our gospel through the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast. Stand fast over and over again. Paul wrote this to these churches. Stand fast. Don't be weak-kneed. Don't back down. Be a Christian. Most of our forefathers, particularly in the early days of the church, were killed for the cause of Christ. We don't pay any heed to that. We're too busy with our games and our things and our playing around. We don't have time to stand fast for the Lord. But Paul says to this church, stand fast. Verse 16. Our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts, establish you in every good word and work. Beloved, the Bible is a real Bible. It's a real book. It's a living book. It should affect our lives. This book will last in eternity. It'll still be there in eternity. This book will never go away. And you can disregard it now, pay no attention to it, not have time for it. But the day is coming when you're going to be sorry you didn't follow this word. Stand fast. Now, why is he encouraging them to stand fast? We're bound to give thanks always to God. Because he has chosen you into salvation. Therefore, brethren, stand fast. You know, when you read the earlier part of this chapter, I'm going to go back and read it. But it says very clearly, with all deceivableness and unrighteousness in them that perish. There's a contrast here between them that perish and those who are loved of God. And it's very plain. The Bible says God gave them strong delusion that they might believe a lie. They won't believe the truth. God let them believe a lie. But you're different, Paul says. God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation. Therefore, stand fast. You've got a lot to encourage you to stand. Your calling by God is something to treasure. It's something to take advantage of. God has a special love for you if you're saved. He shows it by an admonition through the scriptures time and time and time again. Jesus taught it many, many times. Watch. Watch. Be careful. Be looking. That hasn't changed because it's 2,000 years ago since he said it. It's still true. What Paul says hadn't changed because it was 2,000 years ago. Matter of fact, it's even more important now than it was in the beginning because the time is upon us. Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2, which is just another page or two over, 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 1. This is a young preacher that Paul saved under his ministry, and he helped Paul. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. You see, the admonition in the Bible is not to draw back. We're not of them that draw back to perdition. We read in the Hebrew letter. We're not of them. But them that believe to the saving of the soul, we want to do what God says. We love the Word of God. We love to hear the Word of God. And we want to do what God says. Be strong in the grace that's in Jesus Christ. So, stand fast in the faith. Stand fast in the liberty wherewith you been brought to. Stand fast in the Spirit. Stand fast in the Lord. Stand fast because your life has a bearing on others. Oh, I wish I had time for another message just on that. How our life affects other people. Stand fast because of your calling. Paul said in the Corinthian letter, not many wise, not many mighty. God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the mighty. And that's us. You might not like to be called foolish, But the contrast is there. God doesn't call the mighty. God doesn't call those who are so learned and skilled. He calls those who really need him. And if you're saved today, you're one of those that he talked about. Passage back in the Old Testament. I'm not going to turn and read this for lack of time because I've spent too much time on a couple of these points. But old Elisha was a prophet of God, and God was using him. After Elijah died, he took up his mantle and he became God's prophet to the nation of Israel. And they went into the city of Dothan one night, and they stayed the night there. And Elisha's servant came out, and he looked around and he saw all these armies of Syria surrounding the city of Dothan. And he ran in and he said, "Oh, my Lord, what shall we do?" Elisha calmed him with this. He said, "Don't be afraid. There'll be more with us than there are with them." Then he prayed for that servant. He said, "Lord, open his eyes." And God opened the eyes of that servant, and he saw all around those armies of Syria the angels of God. More of them that be with us than be with them. Elisha prayed, "Lord, strike this army with blindness." They came into the city, but they were blind as a bat. They couldn't see nothing. Elisha took them and led them into Samaria, which was the capital of Israel. He led them into the enemy's camp. They were from Syria. They were going to attack Israel. God struck them all with blindness. They couldn't see where the right hand was. More are they that be with us than they that be with them. So just in closing, when I preach to you, stand fast. Don't be afraid of the world. Don't be afraid of all the things that you hear in the news and how it's all going to destroy our families, going to destroy our life, going to destroy our nation. All these things may happen. If it's God's will, it will. But remember this, in spite of all of it, more there be with us than be with them. If God loved you, if God called you, if God saved you, if you've trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, you're special to him, he's going to protect you. You don't have to fear anybody. Now that'll make you stand fast if you really believe it. God's on our side. And the Bible says in Romans chapter 8, if God be for us, who can be against us? That's kind of a rhetorical question. It's simply saying it doesn't matter who's against us. If God be for us, and if he saved you by his grace and gave you the ability to trust in Jesus Christ and claim him as your personal Savior, then he's for you. He's called you through the gospel. You don't need to be afraid of what men can do to you. Jesus said, rather fear him. Don't fear what men can do to you, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. If you're not saved today, you need to fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. That's who you need to fear. Don't fear men. Fear God. And if you're saved, love him. Serve him. Give him the best. Give him all that you have, because someday you're going to stand before him and give account of your life. Are you wasting it in all the things of the world? Are you giving your life in service to Christ? I'm thankful for this church and for the faithful members who come, but you need to be admonished because of all the things that are happening around you, and it affects you whether you like it or not. Stand fast. Don't be afraid. Just stand fast. Because the Lord is for us. And if you know what that means, when God's for you, you know you have nothing to be afraid of. Bow your heads. Father, we thank you for your word.